This is Bob Inyart inviting you to read our manuscript, The Plot, for an overview of the whole Bible. Call us at 800-836-9278. That's 836-9278.
Warning, there's truth ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And what a guest host I have today. And we're going to interview a big shot.
He is a pretty big shot.
Yeah, but who are you? You're the author of Conservative Comebacks to Liberal Lies.
That's right. In the new book, We Won't Get Fooled Again, Where the Christian Right Went Wrong and How to Make America Right Again.
That's Greg Jackson in studio. And wow, we are going to interview.
We're going to interview the guy who is the proprietor of the largest daily devotionals, over 3 million people each day,
at liveprayer.com. Bill Keller. Bill, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Bob, good to be with you, and always good to be on with my dear friend Greg Jackson.
Yeah, and you guys, the three of us, were part of the Ann Coulter Hangups YouTube video.
Well, you were the producer, Bob.
The trio all together.
Yeah, along with Steve Dace. And that YouTube video, it's still going strong.
Over 50,000, I believe.
Yes, 50,000 views, Coulter Hangups at YouTube.
At YouTube, yeah. The Ann Coulter Hangups.
Yeah, really fun. Mostly about Mitt Romney, actually.
No, it's about, Bill, correct me if I'm wrong, but every time you talk to her, she's got to go somewhere. Either her mom's calling her for dinner, or every time you ask her uncomfortable questions.
That's her exit line. You know, once you start giving her questions she's uncomfortable with, the dog's got to go to the bathroom, or, you know, something calamitous is happening.
Well, we're going to talk about some uncomfortable questions and information, I think, today that I think are, Bob, on the hearts and minds of probably many of your listeners with regard to the upcoming election to Mitt Romney and his Mormon beliefs and kind of what are Christians to do. And I think our guest, Bill Keller, is going to shed a lot of light on a lot of those questions.
Yeah, and Bill, I have a couple quotes from some of the presidents of the Mormon Church, from Brigham Young, and in fact, one of their elders who's a relative of Mitt Romney's. He's his second cousin once removed, and they're talking about, and that guy's name is Marion G. Romney, at the General Conference, and they're talking about God the Father was a man like we are, only it was on a different earth, and he went through the same ordeals that we go through, and he became God. And from Brigham Young to really a whole list of their prophets and their presidents, and they say, hey, that's what makes the Mormon Church so unique, like the president Lorenzo Snow. They said that we believe that God the Father was once a man like we are, and that we could be someday a God like he is.
Well, you know, Bob, the Mormons, and it's funny because they have a doctrine in their beliefs that's very similar to a doctrine in the beliefs of the false religion of Islam. It's basically called lying for the Lord. And what it basically, the gist of it is, as long as you are saying something that's patently false, but you're doing it to further your cult's belief system, then it's okay. And I'll give you the perfect example. Every time Mitt Romney or Glenn Beck or any Mormon says they're a Christian, they're technically lying for the Lord, because a first semester Bible study student knows that a Mormon's no more a Christian than a Muslim is. And when they say, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, again, as you just referenced, the God they believe in is not the God of the Bible, but an entity that was once a man, and they believe that they too will attain that status. And when they talk about Jesus, it's not the biblical Jesus, but a created being from their God/man with a sexual union with Mary, who's not a deity, which immediately disqualifies him from any claim to Christianity. And not only that, but they believe he's the brother of Lucifer because he is a created being. He came to the United States during his earthly life. You know, these are the beliefs of Mitt Romney and Glenn Beck and all Mormons. And when people start to begin to understand these fanatical, fantastical beliefs they have, it helps put in perspective why they're a little off and why they're a little odd.
Well, what I'd like to do, if it's okay with you guys, is these are really brief quotes, but this is so the audience will realize that these teachings are coming from the top authorities in the Mormon Church. Of course, Joseph Smith handed the reins of authority to Brigham Young. We've got Brigham Young University today. And where is it? In Provo, Utah?
Provo. Yep.
And Brigham Young wrote this. He wrote that the Lord our God was once a man. He once possessed a body as we do now. And then he talks about we have to go through what he went through so we could secure an exaltation with the gods.
Yep.
So then I've got another quote from Brigham Young, and he's speaking of the Father. We know the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we talk about the Son becoming flesh. Well, that's not what they're talking about. He says the Father was once a man like you and I are and was once on an earth like this. And he passed through the ordeal that you and I passed through. I'll put these quotes with their references on the show summary for this program. And then we have the same thing from their president, Lorenzo Snow. And this is from Mitt Romney's second cousin once removed. And I had to think through what that meant, Bill and Greg. Second cousin, like your father's cousin, would be your second cousin once removed.
Right. Twice removed is his cousin's cousin, right?
If, let's say, your father's cousin has kids, then they're your second cousin. But if it's a different generation, then it's once removed. So Mitt Romney's second cousin once removed, he testified at their general conference of the Mormon Church, LDS, in October 1964. And he said that Joseph Smith taught this obvious truth. As a matter of fact, he taught that through this process, God himself attained perfection. From President Snow's understanding of the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith on this doctrinal point, he coined the familiar couplet, as man is, God once was, as God is, man may become. And he said this teaching is peculiar to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Well, Bob, first of all, I refuse to dignify this cult by even referring to them as a church. They are what they are. They're a cult, and people need to understand that.
Well, great point.
Number two, people in the news media have been perplexed because they can't understand why Mitt Romney's a little off. He's got like a 50s Ward Cleaver type of a mindset. He's a little off, and nobody's ever been able to fully comprehend Glenn Beck's apocalyptical rant. But that's because you don't understand what they believe. When you understand what they believe, all of a sudden, how Mitt Romney carries himself, how he responds to situations, how he is, what Glenn Beck says, it all makes sense because don't forget, their cult was founded just 200 years ago by a guy named, as you mentioned, Joseph Smith, who was a documented con artist who supposedly had a visitation from an angel named Moroni who led him to the Catskill Mountains where he found two gold tablets from which he then made the Book of Mormon from, which, of course, those gold tablets never existed, never do. And then on top of that, you know, Smith then instituted his cult's teachings, including polygamy, racism, pedophilia. I mean, this is all documented what this church was founded on, and these are the fantastical beliefs that Beck and Romney, especially Romney, he's a fifth-generation Mormon. He's not just a pew sitter like a lot of Christians show up for church on Sunday. This guy was once a bishop in his cult, so he bought into this hook, line, and sinker, and when you understand what they really believe and their doctrinal beliefs, then it helps you understand better their makeup and how they respond to things.
It seems to me that people are afraid of Obama. On our Romney profile, just like Greg Jackson has done a brilliant job exposing Mitt Romney for the fraud that he is, we are adding some one-liner slogans, Greg, to our profile at Pro-Life Profiles. Things like this: if you fear Obama, you'll vote for Romney. If you fear God, you won't. That
came from one of the elders of your church, I believe.
That's right, Will Duffy. If you fear
Gotta
Obama,
give Will his props.
Will Duffy, if you fear Obama, you'll vote for Romney. If you fear God, you
Very
won't.
Very insightful.
Yeah, people say that Romney is Obama light, but the reality is Obama is Romney light.
Well, Bob, let me put this Absolutely. In perspective for your listeners. Okay, we don't need you know, to spend hardly any time on why a Christian should never vote for Barack Obama. He's got a track record now, 4 years, of being the most pro-death, pro-gay-friendly, pro-enemy of Israel president in the history of this nation. In conjunction with James 4:4, he's a literal enemy of God, opposes God on every spiritual issue of the day. So that doesn't take a lot of thought. So then the default point then becomes for Christians, I guess then we'll vote for the lesser of two evils. But what they forget to factor in is the lesser of two evils is still evil. And the problem with Romney, you know what, he may end up being a decent president as far as the political issues go, but here's the problem. The problems in this nation aren't political, they're spiritual. And what you're going to get with Romney, without him ever uttering a word about his Mormon cult's beliefs, his cult has already been ramping up for the last year for a Romney presidency. And by conservative estimates from people I know in Utah that are very close to what goes on out there, there's going to be 1 million new converts to the Mormon cult just in this nation alone.
That's,
and for a biblical Christian, what that means is souls going to hell, and that needs to be the focus.
That is certainly possible, because what's happening is we're seeing a normalization of Mormonism.
Absolutely.
With people like...
Well, Joel Osteen saying that...
Joel Osteen.
Recently, as an example, saying that Mitt Romney is a Christian.
Is a Christian. And Ann Coulter saying that Mitt Romney is a Christian. Bill, I think that Ann Coulter said that on Bill Keller, on your program, Bill.
When she hung up. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is a strong example of how the weak teaching in the body of Christ leads to great tragedy, because Christians don't know how to discern the difference between a true follower of Christ and a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I think it turns out that that's what Romney is. He's Obama in Romney's clothes.
And again, what your listeners need to be focused on, put the politics aside for a second, because once again, the problems in this nation really aren't political. Do we have political issues? Yes, we do.
Right.
We have political problems. But the real problems of this nation boil down to the spiritual state of this nation. And what your listeners need to start factoring into their thought process is that a Romney president, just factor in 1 million souls plus, are going to end up in hell if Romney's elected president. And, you know, that's the sad part, because, you know, the church doesn't care about souls anymore. They care about building the biggest building, having the greatest entertainment. They care about all these things that mean nothing in light of eternity. And in the meantime, you've got tools of Satan like Glenn Beck, who's able to buy off supposed Christian leaders like David Barton and John Hagee and a host of others to give his cult credibility. You know, he's going to suck, 60,000-70,000 people into Dallas and sometime in July for his big rally. And people do not understand. This is about souls, Bob.
Greg Jackson.
This is what it's about.
Greg, I think that Glenn Beck is doing that. I think that Glenn Beck is seducing his conservative Christian listeners into being very comfortable with Mormonism.
He's there. Yep. He's playing his part, right, Bill? He's playing his part, an actor on the stage. He was put into power by the elites of his quote-unquote church. I know you don't like that term.
And Bain Capital owns him.
Absolutely.
Who's Bain Capital?
Absolutely.
Hey, guys, the Mormon religion and the Book of Mormon, they teach the most bizarre things. It's hard for us to really remember what they teach, because it doesn't fit in with reality. But they teach that American Indians are actually Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They teach...
Outside of Israel. Yeah.
Yeah, that in about 600 or so, the 7th century before Christ, Jews got in a big ship or a log or something.
So Mitt Romney's Jewish and I'm not?
Yeah, right. Greg Jackson is Jewish. That they sailed across the Atlantic and they became the Incas and the Aztecs and the Navajos and all. And this is so false. For all their effort to figure out people's ancestry, because they pray for the dead, another cultic practice.
And baptize them.
Any of your listeners that are on Ancestry.com, just know when you put money into Ancestry.com, you're putting money into the Mormon cult, they're big into that for that very reason you just noted.
And, you know, DNA turns out to be a very powerful tool for determining ancestry. Well, here's a prediction, Bob and Yurt Live.
Uh-oh.
The Mormon Church will never fund, they'll never advocate a DNA genetic research project to determine whether or not American Indians are Semitic, whether or not they have the Jewish marker that Greg Jackson, you have, and millions of other Jews have around the world. And there's a tribe of blacks in Africa called the Lembas. And for centuries, there has been a belief that they are Jewish. Well, they circumcise, they keep the Sabbath, they follow the dietary law, and genetically now they've been tested, they have the Jewish marker. They could be the descendants of Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. American Indians, they don't have a Jewish marker. They're not Semitic. They're descendants of Ham through the Asian peoples who came over the Bering Strait.
Bob, it's funny, a couple weeks ago when you had the big brouhaha with Hillary Rosen and her comments on CNN about Ann Romney having never worked, it was hilarious because they missed their mark. They could have taken a very legitimate shot at Ann Romney in the sense that in the Mormon cult, their teachings are a 12-year-old boy has more worth than a female. You know, I did a YouTube video that's got hundreds of thousands of hits. It's a message to Ann Romney and all Mormon women. Why would a woman want to be a Mormon when, in their belief system, when you die, you're literally going to be nothing but a human incubator pumping out spirit babies for all eternity, along with a bunch of other women, because polygamy may not be practiced in the United States, because that's the only way Utah could get statehood, but they still believe in polygamy in the afterlife. So, I mean, Mitt Romney believes when he dies, he's going to be the god of his own planet. Anne's going to be just one of his wives. And by the way, most people don't know, Anne and all Mormon women have special names because they can't even get into heaven unless Mitt Romney calls her by her special name to get her in. So, I mean, why a woman would want to be part of the Mormon cult is totally beyond me.
Yeah. We're speaking with Bill Keller from LiveProyer.com, a TV and radio host, email list, daily devotional that goes out to 3,000 people. I would definitely go on his website, check him out at liveprayer.com. You know, what you were just saying about Mormonism's inherent misogynism, Bill, and also their anti-black and anti-Semitic beliefs leads me to believe that probably Condoleezza Rice will be used by the Romney campaign as a way to buttress any attacks that the Obama campaign might direct toward him, that he is involved in some racist, misogynistic religion, which he is, because that's the truth of what Mormonism represents, which is what you're talking
about. Well, they've been racist against blacks.
Absolutely.
And their support for polygamy, and they've had to adjust to pressure.
Over 600 times they've changed their beliefs.
They've had to adjust to pressure from the U.S. government, which if this was a prophet from God telling them these things, you wouldn't adjust based on a threatened suit from the Justice Department. You just wouldn't do it. But by the way, if listeners are wondering, if you Google...
Unless, of course, it's a cult.
Unless
it's a
cult. A
false religion.
What a
great
point.
Then you can adjust whenever you want.
Right. What a great point. Just like their Bible comes in a loose leaf version because they add to it occasionally. And the real Bible says, if you add to this book, you'll get the curses that are presented in the book of Revelation. So you don't add, you don't take away, but they add. They do that.
Absolutely. And in fact,
well,
Bill.
Again, a guy like Beck on his radio program, you'll hear him quote scripture all the time. This is one of the clever deceptions Beck, Romney, all Mormons have been taught. You quote the Bible because then that makes you seem authentic to Christians. But what the fact is, they believe the Bible is an infallible and flawed and incomplete book. And it's superseded, of course, by the writings of Smith, the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, the Doctrines and Covenants. Those are the three superseding documents that guide the Mormon cult. And you don't have to be much of a scholar to read those books and completely understand that that Mormonism is as much Christian as Islam is.
Now, Bill, you've been out on the forefront for many, many years on this, trying to point the things that we're discussing out to your listeners and your viewers. Why do you feel so passionately? And I know that you have former Mormons that have given their lives to the real Jesus.
Yep.
Right? Because I've read many in your daily devotionals. What would you say to a Mormon who might be listening to our show right now? And why is this so important?
It's important for one reason. The most important thing to God is the eternal soul. The Bible says that God's desire all come to repentance, none be lost. Jesus died on that cross for the sins of every man, woman, and child that was ever to come. Sadly, when people get caught up in what Paul wrote to the church at Galatians, the first chapter, another gospel, if you believe the Bible, they're going to die and go to hell. That's what I'm trying to prevent. And what I tell Mormons is simply this. you look at who Joseph Smith was, his life. It was only 200 years ago, so there's a very clear historical record of who this man was.
Yeah, wasn't it Elmira, New York? He was a fraud.
Elmira, New York.
He would take widows, lonely, elderly women who had money, and he would have them fund his expeditions into the hills to search for buried treasure, and there were holes around the city. So then, lo and behold, one of these days he
kind of like Bain Capital.
Yeah, so then he found buried treasure. He said it was these plates that you could only read with special goggles, with these spectacles. And he said it was Reformed Egyptian, his utter ignorance, and he plagiarized this unpopular novel and told this story about the Jews becoming American Indians, paving the continents with cities and machinery and all the copper and steel and all this stuff that's false. They had elephants and horses, and it's all false. 97% of all the cities mentioned in the Bible have been documented by historians and archaeologists. Zero of the cities claimed by Joseph Smith in the Book of Mormon have ever been found. None of his monetary units. It's a fabrication, and it's evidently fabricated.
And that's what I tell Mormons. I say, listen, here is who Joseph Smith was. Don't believe me. Go do your own research. You obviously have his writings, the Book of Mormon, the Pearl Great Price, and everything. What you have to determine is only one thing. Do you believe that Joseph Smith was a true prophet of God and everything he wrote is inspired and inerrant? And if you do, then knock yourself out. But if you don't, if there's even a question about one thing, then the only truth is in the Bible, because you can take the Bible, and as you said, you can make a case for the Bible's inspiration, inerrancy. It is 100% true, and the greatest testament to the Bible being the Word of God is if you simply follow it in every aspect of life, you know what? You may not end up with a Rolls Royce in a beachfront condo and on the golf course, but you're going to have a great life. You're going to be fulfilled. You're going to know true peace, joy, and contentment, and that is what the Bible teaches, whereas the Mormon cult, like a lot of cults and false religions, it's all about works. It's all about the now, and the contrast is so staggering. But the problem you get, and while there's great ministries out there doing tremendous work helping people come out of this cult, the problem you get is it's such a materialistic and it's such a right now type of a cult, like Scientology is, like a lot of cults are, that it's very tough to get people out of that because, again, Mormons teach a very good lifestyle and all that, but it's all works-based.
Well, when you say that being a Mormon is no more being a Christian than to be a Muslim,
right,
I thought about Mormon women in heaven or the afterlife bearing children forever, and the suicide bombers, they're told that they get 70 virgins. You think of how perverse that is. What do they need 70 virgins for, 72 virgins? What's with that? And then we finally figured out why you have a few female jihadist suicide bombers, because we asked, well, what do they get? And it turns out, Greg, they get to opt out. They get to say, I don't want to be one of the 72, all right? And then they get to opt out.
Isn't it funny, though, how a lot of these cults and false religions all have a sexual component to it, all have an instant gratification component to it? That's very common when you study any of these cults or false religions.
Well, I remember on 9/11, these terrorists, mostly from Saudi Arabia, the night before they spent in strip joints.
Yep, drinking.
Drinking and putting everything on their credit cards and tipping strippers. That was the night before they killed themselves in a holy war.
So I guess they were just kind of playing both ends in case those 72 virgins weren't waiting for them
next
day.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, real quickly here, because we only got a couple minutes left.
Sure.
What is a Christian to do? I mean, look, you've written in your daily devotionals that basically we got one coin with heads on both sides, and you say basically Satan wins either way. But really, my question to you is, what is a Christian to do? Because I wrote an article on my website recently basically saying, look, if any candidate for any public office has already violated their constitutional oath, in my opinion, they're disqualified. If anybody running for any office doesn't understand why civil government exists, they're disqualified. If they can't articulate the powers of the three branches of government, then they're disqualified. And based on the records and public statements of Obama and Romney, both of them are disqualified. So what's a Christian like me to do?
Well, I'm going to break some news on your show, Bob.
All right.
Because basically, I have made the case, a strong case, really since last November, that if it is Romney and Obama, a Christian in good conscience obviously can't vote for Obama, obviously because of the soul, you know, forget the political ramifications, just the soul ramifications, can't in good conscience vote for Mitt Romney. So what's that leave you? That leaves you really with really one alternative. That's a third-party candidate. We know a third-party candidate has no chance of winning. So how can a Christian make their vote count and make a statement at the same time? Next Monday, I'm launching a sister website to LiveFair.com. It's called VotingForJesus.com, and I'm going to be working to amass at least 1 million people to commit to go to the polls this November and write in the name of Jesus for president. And yes, I know Jesus isn't going to get elected.
I was going to vote for Tom Hoefling for president in Colorado. Now I'm really, he's got stiff competition here.
At the end of the day, I know Jesus isn't going to be elected, but I'm telling you what, if 1 million Christians will go to the polls in November and write in the name of Jesus, trust me, it's going to not only make a statement, but it's going to say something because I still believe that even though I believe God's hand of protection and blessing is gone from this nation because of all of the sins and gross wickedness from years and years and years, I believe that God still has a remnant, and if that remnant will rise up, I still believe we can change the spiritual course of this nation, and this would be an excellent opportunity to make a statement while still exercising our civic duty to vote.
Wow. I think that it takes courage to do that, what you're doing, Bill Keller, because there are a lot of people who've been taught to fear Obama. But it's the fear
of the
Lord.
That's our major, that's our problem in this country.
It's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom, not the fear of Obama.
Amen.
Yeah. So Mitt Romney has already done far more to kill unborn children and destroy marriage, institute homosexual marriage, the individual mandate, government health care reform, rob religious freedom, force pro-life hospitals to distribute the abortion pill, force Christian adoption agencies to adopt to homosexuals. I mean, he has done it all.
He's to the left of Obama in terms of his record.
He is so to the left of Obama. He has implemented the things Obama and Hillary only dream of. A vote for Romney is a vote for Obama. A vote for Romney. He is. It's the other way around. He's not Obama-lite. It's the other way around.
A vote for Romney is a vote for Satan, just like a vote for Obama is a vote for Satan.
So, Bill,
even one of those men.
Bill, if there's third-party candidates, though, that do legislate and have governed in accord with their constitutional oath, who fear God, we should vote for them, correct?
I agree, and this is going to be a vote of conscience, but I both know politically astute people that a third-party candidate just is not going to win.
All right, Bill Keller, LiveFair.com. Thank you, Bill. What an honor to have you on with Greg Jackson.
Bless your listeners.
Appreciate that. Our website, KGOV.com. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.